an iPhone or an iPad, would you turn to that? Jesus tells us not to worry. And then he tells us why worry doesn't work. So if you are a worrier here this morning, this message is for you, baby. All right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for what you've done in our hearts so far. And we ask that you'd open our eyes to see, give us ears to hear in a greater way, and a heart that responds to you, obeys you, and puts you first. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to read Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of them. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying what you shall eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear. For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. He is saying to you, look at the birds, observe the birds. Where are the birds? Up in the sky. So he's saying, look up. And maybe that's what Jesus is trying to get us to do in this Sermon on the Mount. It's to change our line of sight. You know, so many people worry that it's given them ulcers. Have you ever seen a bird with ulcers? No, because they fly above the situation. You don't see worried birds. You may see angry birds, but you do not see worried birds. Why? Because birds say this: if I wake up, I do my part, there will be a worm. My Father knows how to feed me. Would you look at somebody beside you and say this? It's time to change your direction. Look up. It's time to change your direction. Look up. Now, in the original Greek word for the word worry in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, it's called merimnao. It means take no thought, or some translations say be not anxious or do not worry. So if you're taking notes this morning, would you write this down? Worry twists the life out of you. Worry twists the life out of you. This is what worry looks like. You grab onto it like it's a spin cycle, and you start worrying and spinning. And pretty soon you can't breathe. You're nauseous. And I know. And oh my gosh, the economy. What is going on with our country? And my job. Am I going to have my job tomorrow? Oh, no. And my kids, they may be little right now, but tomorrow they'll be in college. How am I going to pay for it? And my parents are getting older. And some of you are getting older, not me. And we are spinning. And then we grab onto it. Our kids, I'm trying to protect them. I'm trying to guard them. But the stuff that's out there, the stuff they see on TV, the music that's out there, Lord, what am I going to do. I've got a loved one. They're not doing well, so they go to the doctor. The doctor runs tests. And what does the doctor say? I'll call you in a few days. And then you sit and you wonder and you say, what if? And your mind races and it keeps you awake at night and you can barely breathe because you are worried and you are spinning. A very nervous and worried airline passenger began pacing the terminal back and forth because the weather had delayed his flight. So during his walk back and forth down the terminal, he comes across a life insurance machine. It offers $100,000 in the event of an untimely death aboard his flight. And it only would cost him $3. So he thinks, I would be crazy. He looks out the window, sees how threatening the sky looks. He's worried about his family. He's just worried. And so he buys it. Then he walks down, finds a Chinese restaurant, has dinner, opens up his fortune cookie, and it reads this: your recent investment will pay big dividends. Early on in Brian's and my marriage, I used to worry a lot. And you'll probably laugh. Maybe some of you can relate. But one of the things that I would worry about was overdrawing in the checkbook. I did not know how to balance our checkbook. And so every time I would write a check or he would, I'd worry about it until I finally asked his sister, who was an accountant, to come over and help me learn how to balance my checkbook. But I'd worry about it. Another thing I would worry about, and don't laugh, it was an abandonment issue, I know, but early on in our marriage, if we'd go to the mall and he'd go one way to get something, I'd go another way to get something, we'd say, okay, let's meet right here at such and such time. Well, if I got there first and he didn't show, he's left me. He's taken the car and he's left me. Okay. Well, I've got the checkbook. I know how to balance it now. I've got my credit cards. And then here would come that strapping, handsome man with a big smile on his face, and all was well. See, all of our minds can spin, but Jesus tells us, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, how you're going to survive, what you're going to wear, or what you're going to look like. Point number two, worry keeps me from trusting God's promises and his power. Worry keeps me from trusting God's promises and his power. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this: for God has not given us the spirit of fear and anxiety and tension and worry. But what has God given us? He has given us a spirit of love and of power and of sound mind. A lot of people think worry's their friend. They may not say it, but they live it. Some of you might even say, you know what, sweets? I do not worry. I might be a little concerned, but I don't worry. You know what? It sounds good, but you worry and you hold on to it. And I've known some people who are such chronic worriers that when there is nothing to worry about or nothing going on, they worry about that. See, we've got to recognize that we will never be set free and enjoy the promises and the power that God has given us when we are hostage to worry. Worry's not your friend. Sorry, but it's not. It is one of our worst enemies. It's one of the tools of the evil one, Satan, who tries to destroy your faith. He tries to teach us, train us to worry. Which leads us to point number three. My worry is tied to the things that I'm most devoted to. My worry is tied to the things I am most devoted to. Let me give you a couple examples. I don't worry about your kids' grades. Sorry. But I don't worry about your kids' grades because I am not devoted to it. If you came to me and asked me to pray for Joey or Susie because they're not doing well, you bet I will pound the carpet for your little one, your little sweetheart. And I'll ask for that the Lord would give you wisdom as a parent. But I do not go home and sit on the couch and worry about your child's grades because I'm not devoted to it. Another thing, all of us are going to retire someday, but I do not worry about your retirement. I don't. I hope you all retire well, early, with millions and millions of dollars. You get to go to Italy, but I do not sit home and worry about your retirement because I'm not devoted to it. You see, my worry is tied to the things that I am most devoted to. So let me ask you a question. What if you shifted your devotion? Let me give you a couple examples. Say you've got a child. Your child is making wrong choices. You start to think about it. You start to worry about it. You start to grab it, and you start to spin. What would happen if you shifted your devotion? You let go of it, and you gave it to the King of all kings, your child, to the King of all kings, and let him handle. He can do a whole lot better job than I can if I were to worry. But you know what? Because I'm a good parent, I'm going to be on my knees pounding the carpet that God does whatever he needs to do to bring them to a place where they know and love him. I'm going to be pounding the carpet, but I am letting go and I am giving it to the Lord. I am praying and letting him work it all out. We get to choose. Am I going to shift my devotion or am I going to spin and stress and worry? I was with a friend about a month ago over coffee, and she was telling me about a friend of hers that goes to San Francisco almost weekly to minister to the homeless. And God has anointed him, he's blessed him, he's covered him, and he's had incredible results. Well, one particular day, he's ministering to this person, and this guy comes up and puts a gun to his head. And the guy could have grabbed on and fretted and worried and freaked out, but he didn't. He got up and he said, okay, I'll give you anything you want, but would you do me a favor and lower your gun? The guy does. And he says, okay, what would you like? And the guy said, I'd like your phone, your wallet, cards, money, whatever. So he pulls it all out and gives it to him. And then he says to him, you know, I don't have a car. I take the bus back and forth from here to home. Can you give me a couple bucks so that I can get back home? And the guy does. His devotion was not focused on his circumstance. He knew who to trust. So how do I walk in victory? Number four, choose to break the cycle. Choose to break the cycle. He says, observe the birds. As long as you look around you, you're going to spin around and around. But if you break the cycle and consider that there is a God above you who has gone before you, who lives within you, who is always for you, and you are spoken for and known and named, called and chosen and set apart, then you will see life from a different level, just like the birds. Worrying is like spinning, and pretty soon you're tossing and turning, and you have no control. Notice the flowers in verse 28. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They never toil nor spin. They do not labor or spin, and yet they grow and are arrayed beautifully. God says, today is your day. Look up and stop spinning. Your Father knows what you need, so stop spinning. Stop worrying about what God is already working on. Did you know that worship is the opposite of worry? We say often around here, boy, be in your word every day. Worship God, because there is no one that is higher than him and no one that can get you from point A to point B unless your focus is on him. The focus is taken off you and your circumstance and is placed on him. Why do we worship for 20 minutes before the message begins? To prepare our hearts. We've got great songs, a great band. We'd all agree with that. But that's not why we do it. We do it so that we can come together and say, Lord, I choose to put my focus on you. I choose to glorify your name, to declare in this place with my brothers and sisters that you are the King of all kings. You are the Lord of all lords. No matter what's going on around me, you are the God of possibilities, of everything. That is why we worship. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 through 30. It's a great illustration of what I'm talking about. The Moabites, the Ammonites, and others from Syria, they're plotting to crush Judah. King Jehoshaphat hears about it. What does he do? He's a godly man, and he pulls all of Judah together to humble themselves before the Lord and seek his wisdom. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon Jehazel, and this is what the Lord says through Jehazel in verse 15. Listen, all of you Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Now I'm going to read verses 20 through 24, and just picture this with me. It's awesome. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. Wouldn't you have loved, when I get to heaven, this is one of the things I'd like to watch the video on. Here is all Judah. They're marching and they're just praising God, saying, okay, we've been asked to do this. We're going to declare you as the King of all kings. You will fight our battles for us. And while they're worshiping God, the enemy is destroying each other. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So, here's Judah worshiping and headed towards the wilderness. And when they come to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. All because they worshiped. Let me tell you, I'd be doing the happy dance. God is good. You know what? I want to say this to each and every one of us. When you worry, God says, stop it. Stop it. Put your focus on me. You see, God doesn't want to hear about how big your problems are. We need to tell our problems how big our God is. Amen. Start declaring who God is. Worship Him. When I stop spinning around, when I stop looking at my situation and I start with my source, it sends me in a different direction. I know my God. I know who He is. I know He's going to do something good because I trust Him. And when you start with who God is, with your source, then you get back to where you started. If you start with God, you end with God. If you start with fear, you end with fear. If you start with shortage, you end with shortage. 2 Kings chapter 6 is another great example of what we're talking about here. And I would encourage you to go back and read these stories. They're just such faith builders. But Elisha, his servant, and his team are camped out. Elisha's servant comes out of the tent, and he sees that their entire camp has been surrounded by the enemy. Well, Elisha's servant, he freaks out. Oh, my gosh. And he runs into Elisha's tent and says, Master, what are we going to do? Elisha, this is so cool. He could have asked God to destroy the entire enemy, but he doesn't. He does something so much more incredible. He asks that God would open up his servant's eyes to see beyond the enemy. You see, it's not that God takes your enemies away, but He enables you to see beyond them. So the first circle, they were the enemies. But when Elisha prayed that God would open up the servant's eyes so that he'd be able to see what? That there was more with them than with the enemy. So the first circle says, I'm overwhelmed, I'm outnumbered, there's nothing I can do. And you know what? On the surface, that's true. But the second circle, when God opened the servant's eyes, he saw what had been there all along. A host of the angel army circling the enemy. And I believe that this is a word for somebody here today. Whatever is circling you, God is already surrounding it. Whatever is circling you, God is already surrounding you. So much of our peace is dependent on whether or not we can see the second circle. When we live in the first circle, it will never be enough. If you start with not enough, you will end with not enough. But if you start with El Shaddai, who is more than enough, you will end with more than enough. Look up. My Father knows your need. My Father knows my need. We all have needs, but we don't start with a need. If I start with God, who knows my every need, I will end with the God who knows what to do about my need. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning and the end, the first and the last. So look up. Jesus says, look to the birds. Look to the flowers. You are more valuable than them, and yet your Father cares for the lesser. So how much more will He care for you? We've got to live worshiping God instead of dwelling on our problems, and seeing the second circle. But if we're going to do that, we have to change the way we look. If we start with shortage, we end with shortage. Time, energy, money. If God cares for the lesser, he'll care for the greater. If he cares for the little, he will care for the lot. And you are the lot. You are valuable to him. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Seek first. That does not mean that I seek what I think, my ideas, my appearance, what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to drink. I mean, how in the world did Jesus know that in 2019 we'd be spinning around and around about the same old stupid stuff? How did he know to preach this sermon on the Mount and one day it would reach into your life and my life? How did Jesus see Instagram, Facebook, Twitter 2,000 years ago? We are still posting the same things that they were worried about in Palestine. We're still posting what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear. We are worried about the same old things. But if we start with the kingdom, God will give me the things that I need. Amen. I'd like for us to read Matthew 6:33 together one more time. Ready? Go. "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." So are you longing for peace? The only way that we can live in peace without worrying is to live, catch this, the only way is to live with God's priorities. When we put God first in everything, every area of our life, my decisions, before we make any decisions, we ask the Lord about it. And you know, it's been interesting. Through our marriage, we'll be married 40 years this year. And there have been times, yeah, woohoo! He's put up with me for almost 40. But the thing that we've learned is there are times when the Lord has told us to do this or to do that. And there have been times when the Lord has said, "What would you like to do?" Seek him first in your decisions. My finances. Malachi tells me that I'm to give 10% of my earnings to the Lord. Well, you bet I'm going to, because he promises that he's going to bless me 100-fold if I do. And so I'm going to do it not just because of the blessing, but because I want to obey him. I want to put him first. How about my marriage? I'm going to put my marriage, give it to him, put God first in my marriage so I can be the best wife I can be for Brian. I'm going to give my kids to the Lord, and I'm going to put God first because I want to be a good mom. I want to be a good grandma. I want to be a good mother-in-law, but I put it first. When I put God first, catch this, it says that I trust him. And I'd like to encourage you this week to ask the Lord where you're not putting him first. Be open. Be honest with God. He already knows. Ask him where you're not putting him first. And then make some changes. Put him first. When we seek the kingdom of God first, we walk in peace, knowing who has it all handled. We're seeing the second circle, and we're worshiping and putting our trust in him. And you know what happens when we walk in peace? The world sees us, and they look at us, and they say, "I want what you have," because everything else that I've tried doesn't cut it, baby. So when we seek God first, he does what only he can do in each and every one of our hearts. And then we can have impact on this world. So look up. Look up. Would you stand with me? How many of you would say that you were world-class warriors? Raise your hand with me. Did you know that you have the potential to be a world-class worshiper? Let me say that again. If you are a world-class warrior, you have the potential of becoming a world-class worshiper. And you know what? You get to make the choice. When something comes up, are you going to grab onto it and spin around? Or are you going to say, I worship you, Lord. I praise you. I give this thing to you, and I trust you with it. I give it to you. You go before me. Walk beside me. Be my rear guard. I trust you. I trust you because worship is the opposite of worry. Would you repeat this after me? God has got this. I'm not going to be worried about this or that. I am going to be confident that I will see the goodness of the Lord. Let's pray.